It's time to step into the Coming Out Lounge, a cool, safe space to be true to your sexual self, with your host, Rick Clemens. Rick has helped hundreds of people come out of the closet, and now each week he's bringing you cool insights for loving and accepting yourself, boosting your self-confidence, and living a guilt-free, purpose-filled life on the other side of the closet doors. Cuddle up with yourself and get ready for heartwarming coming out stories, ideas for living authentically, and tips for being fully self-expressed. Now here's your host, Coming Out Coach Rick.
Hey, closet dwellers and closet busters. It's me, Rick Clemens, the Coming Out Coach, that guy that helps you make those bold moves. And today we're going to make some bold moves talking about inclusion. Because you know what? Life is a complete series of transitions. And every day when we wake up to the new challenges or adventures or directions we have, there's always going to be some room for transitions. And sometimes those, I feel like those transitions, they're not only, the things that are going on in our heads or at work, but sometimes they're a physical transition as well. And then that affects our life, work, and everything else around us. And today I'm going to be talking to a guy that I met at the Gay and Lesbian National Chamber of Commerce conference in Las Vegas a few months ago. And I loved his energy and the way he walks through life and the things that he does. He's out there. He's really truly a transitionist at heart himself. He loves educating and helping people understand the things that are happening in the business world and your personal world around transitions and life transitions. And I just thought it would be really cool to bring him on and have him talk a little bit about how he's guiding organizations to embrace the transgender community and the gender nonconforming individuals in workplaces, in schools, and really in life. I'm really looking forward to this conversation because I think Danny's going to just weigh in and give us a lot of beautiful insight. So welcome to the Coming Out Lounge, Danny Terrero. Hey, man, how you doing?
I'm doing well, Rick. Thank you so much for having me on your show.
Oh, you bet, man. And, when we met in Vegas and had those few little bits of conversation, I thought, you know what? This is somebody I could definitely see having a huge impact in our little podcast here that reaches all over the world. And just sharing some of yourself and the kind of work you're doing and, helping somebody maybe along the way here go, okay, I am okay. And I can live my life the way I really want to live my life. So let's kind of get started with you. You do work in education and in business around, a lot of inclusion and diversity. So why don't you give us a little high level overview of what you're out there doing right now?
Absolutely. So my mission is to help companies become inclusive with transgender and gender nonconforming individuals. Mm-hmm. So my company has a step-by-step training portal to help with this integration. Right now, we understand that everyone's exposure to transgender individuals is different. And then when you start throwing the non-binary piece, people might not even understand what's going on. So we believe being able to take the training at your own pace is really helpful, and being able to go back and say, okay, I didn't really understand this piece. And sometimes people feel embarrassed or don't know how to ask questions and may not want to offend, so they just don't ask anything. Mm-hmm. So we wanted to give people the foundation in this training. It's the Think Transition Training Portal, to be able to take it at their own pace. While employees are taking this training, I'm able to see with my portal what questions they're getting right, what questions are getting wrong. And then I can recommend to senior management additional workshops the employees could benefit from. So like, let's say if I see that pronouns are an issue, I can create a training around pronouns, mm-hmm. or restroom access, or creating gender transition plans. So that's just some of the things that I'm doing. And then I provide an array of different services. I'm currently working with some clients out in North Florida, and I work with different array of different clients.
Awesome. Awesome. So let's kind of do some education work here, because I know that some of the people listening may not really grasp some of the terms that you and I have already thrown out there. So why don't we just start with the difference between binary and non-binary? What's your layman's description for those?
There are two currently in society, two gender binary, so male and female. Mm-hmm. So people that fit into those binaries, usually, for example, somebody who identifies to be a woman dresses in a more quote unquote feminine manner. Somebody who identifies in the more masculine binary is dresses in a more masculine manner. Somebody who is gendered a non-binary person doesn't necessarily feel, one day they may feel like, you know, they might dress in a more masculine way or a more feminine way or a combination of both. Somebody who might be androgynous can fall into a non-binary category. So especially with somebody who's non-binary, you know, people that are non-binary might not necessarily use he or she pronouns. They might use them, their, here, hears, you know. So when it's talking to people in the non-binary community, it's just a little different because people that are non-binary, you know, like I mentioned before, sometimes are a combination of male, female, neither. So it's just different for every different type of person.
And I want to make sure that the listeners really understand the binary, non-binary sort of stuff. We're not getting into the sexual orientation piece per se. We're just talking about how we show up, whether we show up as masculine, feminine. I mean, I would consider myself a gay man and I consider myself all male. So I'm not really non-binary at all. I'm just showing up in a way that is truly who I am, my cisgender identity, which cisgender would be the identity that you were born with, that you identify with, but that has nothing to do with my sexual orientation.
Absolutely. Yeah. Sexual orientation is who you are attracted to.
Yep.
And gender identity is who you identify with, identify as.
Yeah, absolutely. So as a trans man, what has been some of the biggest challenges that you have faced in the workforce and in the workplace?
Well, I transitioned while working, which is a big, I began my physical transition 5 years ago where some companies were not as inclusive. I actually worked for the Target Corporation, which is an excellent organization to work for if you're in the LGBT community or just the community. Target is very, very inclusive. And I didn't even know that they would be able to accommodate my transition. And then just transitioning on the workforce, you know, I was in a place where I was in a very vulnerable and sensitive place. You know, hearing people misgendering me can be very hurtful. And that's something for people within the transgender or gender non-binary community. That can be very hurtful, like somebody slipping up, like accidentally calling you your old name can be a little triggering, or using the wrong pronoun. So that's something that can be very difficult. And also just in the workplace that, you know, the transgender community, and when I say transgender, I want to make sure I'm being inclusive of the gender non-binary community. So when I say transgender, I'm incorporating non-binary folks. You know, there are not a lot of companies that are inclusive of transgender individuals. You know, the major corporations now, some have gender transition plans, but many don't. And then there are a lot of small companies that are not inclusive of transgender individuals. Right. Like when I've done outreach to try to pitch myself to a smaller company, the response I've gotten is, well, we don't have transgender people here, so we don't really need your services. And for somebody who I am a transgender man and I fit into a masculine, a male gender binary because I am passing, people would not look at me and say, well, that guy's trans.
Right.
So in my day-to-day job or in other jobs that I've worked, they wouldn't even know that I am trans unless I'm saying, hey, this is, you know, I'm trans. So oftentimes employers, you know, if somebody does quote unquote pass, that's not really an issue that they would have to deal with unless the employee said something, you know? Right. So there's just a lot of things. Like I find it that, you know, in companies, they really focus on the LGB piece and oftentimes the T gets left out.
Yeah, no, I agree 100%. And I think it's such a new space, quote unquote, I'm doing air quotes here on the air, folks, but it's such a new space only because it's just beginning to come to the forefront in a way that is making us aware. And I think all of us, myself included, it took me a while to really, truly step into understanding, and I'm still learning, but understanding and identifying, okay, how I interact with my trans brothers and sisters, how I would show up with them on panels and stuff when I would do stuff. And even at this stage, there are still things I'm like, okay, well, that's definitely something I will ask one of my trans brothers or sisters the next time I'm doing something in that arena, because it's about me growing and learning. And I think this is why there's such a challenge right now, is there are so many things that people are just uneducated about. They don't understand what you just gave as an example of, oh, we don't have any trans people in our workforce. You don't know that you don't. I mean, you know, unless somebody is, you know, obviously not presenting as smoothly as some can or can't, you wouldn't know. In fact, I know when I first met you, you know, I didn't make any distinctions. I'm like, okay, this is Danny. Cool. Mm-hmm. And as we got to talking, you know, then that's when it came up. And I think this is the thing that a lot of people don't realize is there's probably a whole lot more trans people around than most of us would, you know, understand. And I think a lot of it comes from the ones that don't have the easier transitions are the ones who are like me, not that I'm trans, but when I came out late in life at 36 as a gay man, there's a lot of later in life transitions that are starting to happen as well.
Absolutely.
Depending on, you know, your gender, you know, direction you're going. I know I have several good trans female friends. Mm-hmm. Who you can still tell that there's a lot of masculine attributes to them. It doesn't necessarily mean that they're a masculine woman. And I think a lot of people, you know, see someone like them. And then that's when, oh my God, they're such a freak and all that stuff. And then all of a sudden everything unravels instead of trying to understand people. So it's got to be a real challenge when you hear something like that of, oh my gosh, we don't have any trans people in our work. So we would need their services.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And even just like how you mentioned, you know, somebody who may not necessarily pass well, I think it's very important to say that every person's transition isn't meant to pass. You know, everybody's transition is different. Like there are people that I know, people that have started hormone replacement therapy and then stopped because they've gotten to the point in their transition where they are happy. And then that's what I think is so great about people who are non-binary, where they're breaking barriers for people who say this is what a woman should look like and this is what a man should look like. So I definitely, and I agree with you when you say it's a transgender issues are coming now to the forefront, because I think for a really long time, you know, people were fighting just for gay and lesbian issues. So imagine bringing transgender issues in on top of it. I think it would have been harder to get to where things are now, you know, like so, with the Chamber of Commerce.
Right, exactly. So why do you think it's so important in this day and age for the trans movement not to go back in the closet? What is one of the biggest advantages for them to still just continue to be out there and present?
I don't think it's going to go away anytime soon, especially because things are becoming so mainstream. You know, you have Laverne Cox. She has her own makeup line. I forget exactly what brand it's with. And we have Caitlyn Jenner, who, you know, came out later in life. And I think, you know, I think also just with the millennial generation, I recently read an article about millennials, 20% of them identifying within the LGBT community. So now we have, and in 2025, the millennial community will make up 50% of the workforce. So I think even more now, employers have to start getting on board or they're going to have a lot of turnover costs, especially with millennials. So that's just one big reason why the trans movement has to keep moving forward now, because it'll make more room for companies specifically to have more inclusive policies.
You know, you bring up something that actually, while I was in Vegas at the conference, and then I was at another conference shortly thereafter, that it hit me in a different way. And I don't know if anybody has said this to you, so I'm just going to throw this out there. One of the things that hit me was we have like the baby boomer generation that we were the, I'm one of those, that we were the first ones to start to really dip our toes in the water around entrepreneurship. And then you get the Gen Xers that they really started like embracing this entrepreneurship, solopreneur, want to be out making, doing their own thing. And then you have the millennials coming up who are like, yeah, we're still going to go to college and stuff. But a lot of what we're trying to do is we're out there to try to shake up the world. And we may be, you know, an entrepreneur, we may not, but either way, we may be a, you know, intrapreneur within an organization. And what I think is happening when we get to this discussion here is the pool of readily available employees, so to speak, in the white collar sectors, maybe even in the blue collar sectors, to me is going to shift so dramatically, and it may even dwindle because people are becoming more and more, I want to do my own thing. So what's going to happen in these organizations? they're going to have, you know, less of a pool to pick from. And if they don't move into the times of, yes, that means if you have a smaller pool, that means there's going to be more people coming from different cultures, more people coming from different races, more people coming from different sexualities and sexual orientations and gender identities. You're not really going to have a choice but to employ.
Absolutely.
And I think this is something that a lot of organizations, and I've been talking to entrepreneurs about this quite a bit, but because of, you know, the work I do around helping people make bold moves and embracing inclusion as a foundation, not just the diversity, just inclusion in general. It's like, you've got to start creating engagement environments that are completely inclusive.
Absolutely.
It's just amazing that people are like, yeah, we haven't looked at it from that perspective of what's really happening to the employee pools as people decide, you know, we're going to be independent, we're going to work from home. And all you have to do is read some of the articles in Entrepreneur and Wall Street Journal, all this stuff about what in the next 10 years work life could look like. So I think this is just very, 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 very prudent right now that this sort of stuff gets talked about and changes get made.
Oh, absolutely. And it's interesting that you say that. I recently had, I was connecting with this consultant, and she has like 30 years experience within diversity and inclusion. She was actually, her most recent position was diversity officer for companies, like smaller companies that couldn't have a diversity officer. And something now, she's starting her own nonprofit. And a conversation that her and I were having was that diversity and inclusion has remained in HR since the 90s, and a lot hasn't changed. So she said that people now, they're just checking boxes, and that's not what diversity and inclusion should be. She believes that diversity and inclusion should really be falling under the chief operations officer, and operations needs to have more of a role within diversity because things will actually move forward. And there's more of a budget within operations. And she believes diversity and inclusion should have a role, like 5% of the operations budget should go within diversity and inclusion. Something else that I've been seeing is when I'm reaching out to clients right now, we're heading towards Q4. Well, we're ending Q3 and going towards Q4. A lot of clients saying, well, we're working on our budget, and I think we could, you know, start putting a budget for diversity maybe next year. So that's to say they don't have a budget now.
Right.
I currently work in corporate America. If something was important to that company, they would make it happen. I've seen X budget projects happen all the time. I work within the finance department. If a CEO or CFO wants to make something happen, it will happen. Right. I think the conversation of diversity needs to be, I think senior management needs to be more of a part of that conversation instead of just, oh yeah, we have a diversity and inclusion manager, that's great, but the diversity and inclusion team should really be reporting to senior management.
So I'm curious, and I think you and I may have briefly talked about this, and I've been talking about this with a lot of different people, but don't you think the conversation would be different if the first thing people didn't think about when they hear D&I, so for those listening, D&I means diversity and inclusion. If the first, it's almost like when you hear gay, the first place people go is, oh, it's about, you know, sex in bed, or diversity and inclusion, it's about LGBTQ, or about African Americans. When in reality, if diversity and inclusion was about, it's good for everyone, it's about everyone, it's about the Christian sitting there that feels uncomfortable talking to the Jewish person versus the Muslim person, it's the person who feels like they can't come forward and say, no, I know I'm in accounting, but I'd really like to be working in marketing, and I've got some marketing ideas. It's like opening the doorway to inclusion means being able to have open conversations about whatever needs to be discussed in a healthy way in the organization, not just, as you said, Danny, I loved when you said that, let's not just check the boxes. Okay, we've got our 3.5 gays, we've got our 2.5 trans, you know. It's more about what does inclusion really look like and what does diversity really look like? We already have diversity in organizations. We just don't seem to put it under that realm. I mean, everybody comes from a different space.
Absolutely. And then that's the difference between diversity and diversity and inclusion. Diversity is the, you know, the people. Inclusion is really giving everyone a space at the table to have the conversation.
Exactly. And I don't think a lot of people do that. I think that's where many companies, many organizations fail.
I agree. And that's the great thing about my program. My program, the way I package is I want every employee to take my training course, because I think you'll get different perspectives for different people. And what I have heard from clients is that my training is a conversation starter. Mm-hmm. So it's like, okay, great. This is what we're doing for trans people. How are we including the rest of the LGBT community? What can we do for veterans? What can we do for people right. that are have disabilities? How, what are we doing for Christians and Muslims? And how are we being intersectional? What are we doing for women? So it's really, what I have heard is just really a conversation, and it gets people, mm-hmm. it's starting to get people really excited. And that was just my goal for my training, because even though I do focus within transgender and gender nonconforming issues, I can speak on issues about race. I can mm-hmm. speak on LGBT issues. And if there's other groups, I have a team of different consultants that I can reach out to and say, hey, yep. I can't really speak on this. I mean, I can look things up, but I think you would be a better person to right. speak. Can you come in and have this conversation with mm-hmm. a client of mm-hmm. mine? And I just think that that's just really important to get the employees into it. But I think right now, and I can't speak for all companies, but a lot of companies, it's just like, okay, get your work done and then
yeah, exactly. And go home. We're done. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Now, what I find so interesting, and because I'm 54, so I'm in that interesting place where in a few years, I'll be kind of aging out, so to speak, of the workforce. But what I find so interesting is a lot of the pushback in the fight, and I'm going to stereotype it here, mm-hmm. comes from the old white male. You know, yes. The old white male who's like, no, this is the way things are going to be done. But what uh-huh. they don't realize is at some point they hit the diversity and inclusion wall themselves. They quit yes. being included. You're old, you're white, you don't have young thoughts, you don't think young, you don't think uh-huh. progressive, you know, all this stuff. And so I think if we could really begin to reshape and realign the thoughts around what does diversity and what does inclusion mean, it isn't just a few letters of LGBTQ. It isn't just about race. It isn't just about religion. It's about each and every one of us, that being diverse and inclusive is about bringing everybody, as you said, I love the metaphor, bringing everybody to the table. Mm-hmm. Everybody gets to have a dialogue. And that's
absolutely
that's missing. To me, it so often gets like lumped into, as we've said over and over on this podcast, it gets lumped into, let's meet the quotas. Okay, we got the quotas. Great. But that's not really what it should be about. It should be about so much more.
Absolutely. And even just as you said, in a couple of years, you'll be aging out the workforce. I don't even think that should be the case. Like if somebody, you know, is older and is 80 or whatever age and can contribute something to a work environment, yep. I don't think that's something we should even look at. You know, yeah, I don't think age should determine anything. I've spoken to, you know, a few people who are like, you know, I'm old, no one's going to hire me. And I think that's just really disappointing. And I think mm-hmm. that fails that diversity and inclusion piece that we were just discussing.
Absolutely. So I'm curious, you're still in corporate America, and I know you do this mm-hmm. your other stuff as well. So I'm curious, mm-hmm. are there any closets you still find yourself in as you're working in corporate America? Is there times that you find yourself going, I don't know if I can really be out the way I want to?
Oh, absolutely. I find myself in like my current role, you know, like you mentioned about the old white men saying this. So the company that I work for, I find it to be similar. You know, like I see that they are a diverse company. You have people all from all over the world, and that's great, but they don't have that inclusion piece. And I think that they're just in that space that they don't know how. So like even myself, like I've reached out to HR a couple of times and I'm like, hey, so, you know, this company is doing a lot of things, buying different properties. This is great. When are we going to have these conversations about, you know, diversity and creating employees resource groups and things like that? So I think that stuff's important. But I think, you know, just in my own firm, if somebody doesn't start the conversation of diversity and inclusion or inclusion, you know, people just kind of keep going. So I find like that can be a little frustrating. And I find myself being in that type of closet, like, okay, I don't speak about my company and what I do outside of work because there isn't that inclusion piece. So, you know, we just talk about like fantasy football and that's just what they want to talk about.
Yeah. But, you know, that's part of what I find so fascinating is when we can't be fully engaged, we can't be fully engaged in the workplace either. And that's something that I think a lot of people miss. And once they can be engaged, then so many beautiful things start to happen. You know, revenues go up, creativity flourishes, innovation flourishes, all these things begin to happen. So I've got one more question for you, man, before we wrap up. This always goes really quickly. You know, as someone who is transitioned on the job and now working in, you know, a space after transition, if we've got a young person or an older person, either one, listening to me, who's like in the throes of, man, I don't know if I can do this. What would be a piece of advice you would give them about moving forward in their life, doing and being who they are as a trans person?
I would say that, you know, transitioning is a very difficult journey. And, you know, I totally believe in you. And if it is the right move for you, I would highly recommend you do it because, you know, me transitioning was the best decision I ever made in my life. You know, it caused me happiness in ways that I never thought I could imagine. But I also think because it is a difficult journey, it is very, very important to have a support system, whether that be family or friends or a partner or, you know, coworkers, whatever that support system looks like for you. It's very important because especially like transitioning on the job and let's say you're not in an inclusive place, that can like really eat you. I know people that I have mentored through their transition who have called me like, oh my God, I keep getting misgendered at work, and they're just crying and, you know, just having to talk them through that, and they're just better places in their lives now. You know, they're thriving. I have a friend who's like my brother who, you know, it meant like, you know, suffered from really bad depression and now is, you know, doing really well. He is a teacher in Spain, traveling all over through Europe during his time off. And he's just thriving, living his best self, loving the life that he lives. And just something that I believe, you know, I think, you know, if you can mentor somebody or finding a mentor, that's really important. Like, I know I had a mentor through my transition and I have helped many transition. And I just, you know, I think that is just really important. And that would be my advice.
I agree 100%. We sometimes think we got to do all this alone. And the truth is at times you may feel that way, but in truth, if you really put the effort in, and sometimes it doesn't take a lot of effort, but if you put the effort in to find somebody that you can say, you know, I just need somebody I can lean into. There's plenty of people out there that would be willing to be a mentor and help you along through whatever the transitions, changes of life are that we all have to bear at times. So,
absolutely.
Danny, I'm so glad we met. I'm so glad we had the opportunity to share some time today and to share you with others. If somebody wanted to find you, what's the best place to find you? What's your website?
My website is think-transition.com. And my email address is danny@think-transition.com.
Great. And we'll have Danny's website listed on the show notes. If you want to reach out, ask some questions, I'm quite sure Danny would be more than willing to like quickly answer some questions for any of you. Or if you happen to be in an organization that you think could use his services, please reach out and support Danny in his quest to help bring diversity and inclusion for trans individuals into the workplace in a very powerful, wonderful, supportive way. So thanks for being here with us today, man. I really appreciate you.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me on your show, Rick.
You bet. So there you have it, Closet Dwellers and Closet Busters. Another episode of the Coming Out Lounge has just wrapped up. Thank you so much for listening. I so appreciate each and every one of you who tune in and take in these interviews and my riffs and rants and everything to help hopefully improve your life in some way, shape, or form as you're on your journey coming out to be your most truthful self. And, you know, one of the things that's really important to me is that this podcast gets shared over and over and over again to those who this may be their only way of finding some help and support to get them through these tougher parts of life. So if you could just do a rating and review, that would be super cool. Do it at iTunes, SoundCloud, Stitcher, wherever you're listening to us. Just give us a little rating and review. And if you feel like sharing, just especially on iTunes, just hit that little share button and boom, you can share it with whoever you want in a message, an email, however you want to do it. Another thing you might want to do is also go to the Coming Out Lounge website. You'll see a little icon there that says Get Rick's Book. You'll see my smiling, beautiful face, and give yourself the gift of reading the book. It's kind of humorous. What's more than kind of humorous? It's kind of funny. What's more than kind of funny? It is funny, but it's also really real about your journey coming in and out of the closet, and I would love to share that with you. So go ahead, take advantage of that, and grab a copy of my book. And until next time, we hope you just keep stepping out, stepping up, and stepping into living your powerful truth. Take care, everyone, and have a good week.